Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Today, I'm here with Kim Chesney, and we're going to be talking about unlocking your quantum intelligence. Really excited to jump into this topic today. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to helping you live your best life through self-care and wellness. In each episode, we strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your journey towards greater personal wellness. I am your host, Amy Zellmer. I am editor-in-chief of Midwest Yoga and Life magazine and author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide, available on Amazon. I am passionate about yoga, wellness, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can learn more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Today, my guest is Kim Chesney, and she is the author of The Illumination Code, Radical Intuition, and The Psychic Workshop. As the founder of Intuition Lab and the Create Festival, her work raises awareness about the importance of insight in the evolution of individual and world consciousness. Working for nearly 20 years in the tech sector, Kim has led initiatives with some of the top thought leaders, technology companies, and universities in the world. Welcome, Kim. So excited to jump into this today.
Hi, Amy. I'm so excited to be here. I love talking about intuition and I love all the work you're doing. So it's great to be here.
Yeah. And I have a feeling our audience is in for a treat today. So your newest book just came out, The Illumination Code. And there's a beautiful review in the current issue of the magazine. So anyone can check that out. I think maybe the first place we should start is having you kind of define what is quantum intelligence.
Such a great question. And, you know, I set out to really understand what, how all of our thinking processes tied into intuition after my first book, my last book, actually, The Radical Intuition. So people were like, how does intuition actually work? And once I started really digging in and going deeper and working with some of today's leading scientists, we realized that intuition is a kind of quantum intelligence. It really is a way, it seems like magic, right? It seems like something we can't comprehend right. The laws of this world that we know. It's because it doesn't obey laws of this world. It obeys laws of the quantum world, which we're now over the last 100 years really discovering. So that's part of why intuition is coming to the forefront right now, is we're really realizing it is scientifically explainable, and it's a part of our mind that we can actually develop and use. It's latent and just waiting for us to tap into.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love that you say we can all learn it because, you know, I think some people naturally discover their intuition. And others have no idea it's there. Some people ignore it, right? They don't know that that's what it is. Like they have no idea. I knew pretty young. I was probably middle school when I started kind of like, oh, okay. Like starting to trust that gut feeling. And, you know, especially back when I was growing up, you know, 80s into the early 90s, wasn't something our parents ever talked about, right? No. Like nobody ever told you about your intuition and, you know, like listen to your gut was sometimes brought up, but like it wasn't ever something our parents encouraged us with, or at least mine didn't. No. There might be some kids who grew up with more hippie parents, but, you know, I wish I had understood earlier what it was. And as I got into high school, I actually kind of like started trying to repress it a little bit because it was freaking me out. Mm-hmm. Now I embrace it and I'm so grateful for it. But tell us a little more about for folks who maybe they have it a little bit or they're in tune with it a little bit or maybe not at all. Like, how can we develop that skill?
Well, first of all, I want to say I love that you shared that story, because I think that that is something a lot of us can relate to begin with. As children, we're very naturally intuitive. Mm-hmm. You see whether their kids are creative, they have invisible friends, they like have this, they're wide open to the universe and all of the things that it brings. But as we grow up, we are sort of systematically conditioned out of our intuition. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us are just told, oh, that's just make believe, or, you know, that's all in your head. So we sort of repress it. And then there's a few of us, you know, many people have really strong intuition and they can repress it, right? So things happen, like you'll have a spooky gut feeling or something, but then you're lost in this world and you don't know what to do with it, because we don't teach anybody how to use our intuition or how it works or what's actually happening. So it freaks people out. So people have these intuitive experiences. They think they're going crazy or that they're in danger or something like that, when really, it's just a natural part of our minds that no one told us about. No one showed us this is how it works. This is normal. This is natural. This is actually good. You're using both sides of your brain. You're using your thinking mind, your critical mind, along with your imagination and that inner creative genius, right? So marrying these two sides of our brain is really important, I think, at this stage in our development as human beings. It's really the sort of the leg up. You see people who are genius, artists, creatives, just anyone who's out there doing something extraordinary in this world, they've done it with their intuition, right? And it doesn't mean you have to sit around and, like, you know, play with tarot cards and use pendulums. It's a natural thing that those are great. I'm not like dogging those, but at the same time, you don't have to. It can be something very normal when you're going shopping at the store and trying to decide what food to eat for dinner, right? It's just a natural helper. So there's a lot of things that we can do to answer your question, to develop our intuition. And the first thing is acknowledging that it exists, and our society has made that a barrier. So once we can get over that hurdle, we can realize that the intuition can be developed just like other parts of our brain, with practice, attention, and really raising our awareness of what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And do you find too, I'm trying to choose my words here, that women are more in touch with their intuition than men? Because I don't hear men talk about it nearly as much as women. And I've always been kind of curious, because, you know, women are moms, right? We're childbearing, and we have that internal instinct to protect our kids and our families. Not that men don't, but, you know, the mama bear comes out, right? And so I'm just curious, like, if we're just more susceptible to our intuition, or is it that, what do you think it is?
So it's not a coincidence that the term women's intuition is something we've all heard of, right? I mean, that's happened for a reason. And I think that to answer that simply is that the feminine is more intuitive. Mm. So if you're a feminine person, whether you're a male or female, right? You're going to be more receptive to your intuition, right? Because intuition is receiving. It's not something with our thinking mind, we gotta get out there. We're like in the yang mode. We're out there fixing things, solving problems, figuring it out. But intuition, we don't have to do any of that. We just open up and receive. It's very yin. So depending on what your personality is, you know, if you're masculine, very yang oriented woman, you might not have good intuition. You might be like still in your head, right? And the same vice versa. So I think for me, it's in terms of the polarity, it's the feminine energy. And anyone who's a natural mother, a natural nurturer, mm-hmm. natural receptor, they're going to have a natural ability to channel their intuition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Because the men that I do know who are more intuitive have more feminine trait to them. They're more in their femininity than their masculinity.
And again, we all want to be a little bit more closer to that balance, right? So mm-hmm. when we have the balance of both sides of our brain, the receptiveness, the activeness, then we really are able to think with our whole mind and live more whole lives. So I think it's a good thing that we're tipping the scales back in the favor.
Because we all of us have masculine and feminine energy within us. And, you know, it just, which side of the scale is tipped more. Yeah. You know, and what about, so where is the line between like intuition and then like psychic abilities? Like where do those fall?
Yeah, great question. So I look at psychic abilities as really just one of the many manifestations of intuition. So in my book, Radical Intuition, I talk about four pathways of intuitions or four types of intuitions. And they sort of relate to body, mind, heart, and spirit. And so the psychic ability is one of those ways that intuition manifests, right? So we have the ability to see with our second sight or to have gut feelings, or you might even like hear something, and, or, you know, the sort of different senses play together. But there's also sort of your inner guidance system, which is just a knowingness, right? The intuition of the mind, that's more like, oh, I just know that person is going to work out for me. I just sense there's something good about them. I just have a knowingness. Another great expression of intuition is the creative force, creativity and inspiration, right? And that's this intuition of the heart. And that's when we channel that, all the beautiful, creative energies of the universe out into the world. And yeah, so there's a lot of different ways that intuition can manifest in our life, but it all really comes down to us sort of tapping into this beautiful, ever-present field of information, knowledge, inner wisdom that's stored in the unified field around us, and tuning into that part of a brain that allows us to access it and channel it and bring it into the world.
And so what about empaths? Mm-hmm. In my experience, just in like my friends group, those of us who are more empathetic, we tend to be more intuitive. And so I'm curious, you know, how those two are connected.
Yeah. So I think when being an empathic person does relate to intuition because it's a heightened sensitivity. Intuitive people, right, have a more of a sensitivity towards the sort of subtle vibrations of the universe. Like you walk into a room and you might be like, there's a million people in there and you're overcrowded. Empaths are like, nope, this is too much for me. I'm overwhelmed. I don't want to be around all this energy. Whereas other people can filter that out and aren't mm-hmm. as sensitive to it. So, you know, it's really actually becomes helpful though, when you're learning to relate to other people, when you're going into spaces, like you can sense energy in places that things feel good or things don't feel good. It's very helpful in ascertaining the energy in your environment, which, you know, it's, we want to read the room, and empaths help us to read the room.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely me. I can walk in a room and be like, no, gotta go. I've walked into stores, like your smaller boutique-y stores I need to get out of here. There's somebody in here that I don't like their energy, and like I know nothing about anyone in there, right? So but I've learned to listen to it. You know, it used to freak me out, but I learned just to let it be a guide. Yes. And it keeps you safe. You know, I do a lot of road trips by myself. I've traveled all over the country, and people are always like, aren't you scared to travel alone? Isn't that scary? And I'm like, no, should it be? Like, then it makes me like do a double take, like, should I be more scared? But like, I always trust my intuition, and it's rarely ever led me astray. Occasionally I read someone wrong, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah, it's funny because that's one of the things people ask me. They're like, well, what happens when your intuition's wrong? And my answer is always, well, our intuition's never wrong, but it's easy for us to get our intuition wrong and misinterpret something, right? And that's why it's so important to start recognizing, you know, what's our genuine intuition feels like. And the more you sort of pay attention to things like you do, like the more you get to know, okay, so this feels right. This feels safe. This feels like the path for me. And then you can trust that and rely on it.
Yeah, you know, and the couple of times that I have read people wrong, and I've always erred on the side of caution. And I've come to realize like, oh, they were just having a bad day when I met them, or mm-hmm. like there was something else that they were giving off when I met them, that it wasn't like I wasn't getting through to that true energy. So like you said, it wasn't really wrong. It just like wasn't, you know, I was interpreting it wrong.
No, that's a really good point, because your intuition can give you lots of different information, and something that might seem wrong at one point, you might look back like 10 years from now and be like, okay, now I know why I had that instinct, right? So it's not always that we're wrong, but sometimes we don't see the big picture yet. So we can't really fully understand why we're having that impression. Like, because if you meet someone and you're like, get a bad vibe off of them, even though they're like, you know, they might be nice people and, you know, you might end up becoming friends someday, there was something that you were responding mm-hmm. to. So whether it was something temporary, just someone having a bad day, or whether it was just sort of, could even be like stuff like past life stuff. You don't even know, depending
right.
on, right. So yeah, you just kind of have to let some of those things play out with time.
I know. I have a difficult time going to antique stores.
Oh, same. You can't.
Nope. Because objects can carry.
Yes, 100%.
Spirits with them. And there was, I remember in this town I lived in, it wasn't even an antique store. It was more like a thrift store. But there was one room I could go in it. And whatever it was must have finally sold and gotten out of there, because then I could go in that room. Like, my body was just like, nope, can't go in there.
Nope. It's like Melinda Gordon on The Ghost Whisperer, right? So it's no coincidence you're in an antique store, right? But and it's just, it doesn't have to even be ghosts. You could just sense like the energy of the people that own the stuff. And like, if you know, sometimes it just doesn't feel right. I can't do it. I can't have any antiques in my house. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting. So I had been looking for, at the time I was a boudoir photographer, and I had been looking for one of those beautiful, like, European phones, like with the rotary dial and that big fancy headpiece that you held up. And one of my employees found one at an antique or thrift store and sent me a picture. And I was like, yes, get it. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And I brought it into my apartment. I had like a studio in my home, and I suddenly had weird things going on in my apartment. They weren't bad, mm-hmm. but they were just weird. And mm-hmm. my dog was seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And dogs, you know, pets can be very open to seeing spirits. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was because I was in an old building, and then it dawned on me, no, it came with the phone.
Right. And I love that you brought that up, because, you know, this is really a type of like psychometry and entanglement that I talk about in the Illumination Code. Like, how does that happen? So we step back, right? How does it happen? You bring a phone home. Why does a ghost come home with you? With it? Like, why do they care about their phone? Right? They have an attachment to the phone. So we start looking at quantum physics and understanding like how things like this happen. And I think it's really interesting looking at the concept of entanglement and how that applies to not just human like particles or just particles, but human beings, and also energy that can even transcend realities. So, you know, if someone has that phone, you know, maybe it was a special possession or something of theirs, but they're still entangled with it on some level, especially if they're still, you know, sort of hanging around this realm. Right. And then when they're entangled with it, and then you become entangled with it. So then you guys get attracted together through this sort of energetic entanglement of objects and beings. So it's really fascinating when you see stuff like that happening. So did you just get rid of the phone then? And no,
no, I had it for a few years. It was definitely a she. And I was like, she's cool. She can stay. And I truly believed that she hung out with my dog when I wasn't home.
Oh, so sweet.
Cause my dog, I was just I had a little Yorkie, and, I would often come home and she'd be up near the phone. And so I have no doubt that like they hung out, and maybe you can speak to that a little bit too with pets. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, like they're much more open, you know, they haven't been, like you said, even small children are more open because we haven't been taught biases yet. right? Yeah. And so pets don't learn that.
Yeah. And I also think that they can perceive vibrations of reality that we can't, you know, just like cats have night vision and they can see at night. I think that there's other levels of sort of, we're all kind of living in these different multidimensional realities based on our vibration, and cats, dogs, other animals are, I truly believe, are able to see vibrational experiences that we can't perceive with our five senses. Cause just think about it. This is, these five senses that we have, they're just sort of our sensory system to perceive the world around us. Well, if you have a heightened area in one or the other, or like a sixth sense, then there's more information out there to be perceived, which I think often our pets do, and children.
When I used to have cats, and I, in the evening, our cat would always look at this one spot on the wall, and we were always like, what on earth is it seeing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still to this day wonder what it was seeing, because it was always in the same spot, and it would just go and look and stare at it.
Yep. There's something there. Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, speaking of like sensing spirits and whatnot, like the woman that came with my phone, like, mm-hmm, I never got any bad vibes from her. It was always like, oh, you know, she's cool, she can stay. There was a room in our building, like I said, it had been a brewery back in the day. Mm-hmm. And there was one room, I could not go in that room. And I was always like, why? What's up with that? Like, why? Like, I physically could not go through the door. I later learned one of the workers had a heart attack in that room and died. And and people claimed that he was still angry, and people claimed that he haunted that room. And I was like, yep, he's still there. So.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think that, you know, when you're sensitive like that, you have the ability to get that energy before, you know, most people can just tune it out. But you're like, yeah, no, I can feel it. And it's also really helpful in the reverse, like when you say you're buying a house or a new apartment or something, and you go in, right? And you say, oh, yeah, you know, if there's a room like that, you might not want to get that apartment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yes, it definitely can be helpful. And at times it's annoying. Mm-hmm. Like that building in particular had a lot of interesting, it was an old building, lots of peculiarness. And I've also learned that, you know, just using that phone again, like that spirit might not have had anything to do with that phone. It could have been someone who was trying to reach someone that was connected to that phone. Like spirits aren't always, they don't always have a purpose of why they're in that space that they're in, that they're just, they could just be traveling always, through. Yeah,
fully conscious of, you know, of the whole situation as we are. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, everything that happens in the space around us is, you know, think about that. Like everything that's ever happened in that building or where you are right now is still held energetically in that space. So it's just, you know, time moves us, you know, in and out, but technically in that space, it's still held. So there are, you know, it's very common to go places and sense the energies, even outside in sacred places and in nature, you know, you'll have beautiful energies held there. And so it's something interesting to pay attention to, right? If you're out there and you're listening and you haven't really had experiences like that consciously, start noticing how you feel when you go into different rooms and energetic shifts. Like for me, I can't do basements. Like basements just don't feel good to me. I don't like the energy underground. It's generally not for me. I like to be like on second floors, third floors, high, where there's lots of light. That's where my energy feels good. But everybody's different. Some people love the comfort and coziness of like root chakra basements, you know? So mm-hmm. it's kind of cool to see where our personality resonates.
And I think too, like learning where you best recharge too. Yes. Like for me, it's nature. Mm-hmm. Give me a beach, give me like a nice hike in the woods, anything like that can really recharge and ground me.
Absolutely. And I think nature is the best place to just kind of do those walking meditations, even if you're just sitting and being or walking down a path or by the ocean. It really helps you to release a lot of the energy that you get when you're, you know, walking through the city and the busy world. We store that stuff in our aura and our energy field. So getting out into a place that's got that clean energy and that open energy allows us to recalibrate, you know, with that sort of peace.
Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for anyone listening who, you know, is just maybe interested in developing their intuition more?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, the first steps, most of us have had little intuitive experiences throughout our lives. So we have an inkling that it's real. But what we want to start to do is start to recognize our intuition and differentiate it from the other thoughts in our head, right? Because our inner voice is what we want to follow. But there's more than one inner voice. If you really, you know, think about it, we've got the inner critic and there's other things. So we want to learn how our inner voice feels and our inner guidance feels. And then, you know, once we start to get an idea of that, we want to get validation so we start to know it and trust it in everything we do. So that's really the end goal, is getting into a relationship with your intuition, practicing with it, getting into a place where you know you can rely on it and start there, right? So our thinking mind's great. We want to, you know, use our really smart brains, but the reality is we were meant to use our intuition first. We were actually designed, even biologically designed. Intuition comes in first and fast. It's here before we can even think of a response. Our intuition is already in. So we're actually made to listen to our intuition first. So starting to listen and pay attention for those little thoughts, ideas that come out of nowhere. That's the calling card of your intuition. When you're in the shower and an idea drops into your head, or it can be a memory too, like, oh, I should, today's my mom's birthday, I should call my mom, right? It's something that comes to you intuitively from that inner field that's connected to the unified field of all things. And so paying attention to those things that arrive without thinking, and then letting our thinking mind follow through and serve that. So getting in a habit of thinking with our intuition first, trusting that inner voice when it comes, that's how we start to cultivate like a lifestyle of insightfulness that really can guide us and change our life.
I love that. So Kim, I want to take a moment, make sure that we do mention your website. So anyone listening, you can also find it in the show notes, wherever it is that you are listening. But it's intuition-lab.com. And tell us a little bit about what we can find on your website and how to work with you.
Yeah. So I created Intuition Lab in 2017 just for this purpose, to help people to know and trust their intuition. So we have all kinds of classes and workshops and a wonderful community of seekers and people who are exploring the inner frontier. So everyone's welcome. If you want to try your intuition out, practice with some other people, develop it, it's a great place to start.
Awesome. And as far as your newest book, The Illumination Code, can we also find that on your website?
Yeah, you can get that on my website. And there's also a free toolkit that comes with it if you sign up. And I have some of my insight card decks, which is one of people's most favorite parts of the book, is we work, they're like tarot cards, only they're intuition development cards. And there's a free deck in there and a bunch of other fun stuff to help you get through the book and start your own intuition practice.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Kim, for being here today and just sharing. I could talk about intuition all day long. I loved talking about it, but thank you so much for being here.
Me too. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, Amy.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you're listening to help others on their own wellness journey discover this podcast. And also head over to MidwestYogaLife.com and sign up to receive our newsletter and get information on the magazine as well as upcoming conferences. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day, and I'll see you in the next episode.